Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever had to look for a job? It's the worst, isn't it? Putting yourself out there, filling out applications, submitting resumes, customizing cover letters, if they even do that anymore, and then waiting. Waiting and waiting. Waiting for the phone to ring, waiting for an email, waiting for an answer, even if it's no, just to know whether they're considering you or not. No news is not necessarily good news when you're looking for work. And our gospel reading today reminds me of how unpleasant it is to be looking for work, to be seeking employment, especially when you don't already have a job. It's one thing to be looking to advance in your career and applying for jobs that would be a step up. It's a whole other thing to be looking for work when you're unemployed or underemployed. Then the hiring process can certainly be torturous. My most unpleasant or challenging job search came when I was coming out of seminary. I was a 39-year-old graduate of seminary with 15 years of business management experience. And I was told by the faculty at the seminary I would be a sought-after candidate among my classmates. However, I didn't receive my first call until 6 months after graduation, well after many of my classmates had already begun theirs. Now, it wasn't that I wasn't getting calls during that time. I was getting inquiries, but they were just from some of the larger congregations who typically wouldn't have been interested in new seminary grads, but they were intrigued by my business background. So I'd get a call and I'd get a first interview, and then I would hear, "We've decided that we'd like somebody with more ministry experience." Duh. You had my profile, you knew what my experience was, but thanks. I like to think that I was a high second round draft choice or pick, but I kept getting interviewed in the first round and getting excused. That was over 17 years ago, and I'm over it, obviously. Anyway, today is our second of 5 weeks of our 5-week sermon series on generosity. And like last week, we are reading and reflecting upon a parable of Jesus that's told in Matthew's gospel. Last week, we read about a landowner who gave three of his servants three different amounts of talents prior to leaving on a long trip. The two who doubled their master's talents were blessed when he returned. But the one who didn't double the master's talent accused the master of being cruel and untrustworthy when he came back. That's a challenging parable to understand and apply, but it ain't nothing compared to this morning's parable. The parable of the workers in the vineyard is one of the most difficult parables to reconcile, according to our worldly view, according to our sense of fairness and our economy. The parable of the workers in the vineyard, though told over 2,000 years ago, is still very relatable because it hits pretty darn close to home. You see, this parable assaults our sense of what is right and fair and just. A fair day's wage for a fair day's work, right? It's what we've been taught. It's what our nation and our economy has been founded upon. How could Jesus suggest anything different? Jesus suggests something different because he is not talking about the world that we live in. At least not as it was then when he told this parable, nor as it is today. Maybe someday it'll be like this. You see, the world that Jesus is describing in this parable is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, what isn't obvious to us, that would have been obvious to Jesus' hearers in the first century, is that landowners would never be the ones going to the marketplace to hire laborers. They'd have had people for that. And yet, in this story, the landowner goes to the marketplace to hire laborers. That would be like God taking on the form of a human to live among the people. Ridiculous, right? Unimaginable. And yet, that's what the landowner did. Now, if the manager had gone instead of the landowner, the manager would have been much more efficient than the landowner. Maybe the landowner just didn't have a lot to do. The manager would have gone once. He'd have gone in the morning, he'd have hired all the laborers they needed for the day, and he'd have paid them at the end of the day. Done deal, get to work. But that's not how this story goes. It's a landowner who goes to the marketplace, and he goes 5 times during the course of a day. And each time hires more laborers to work in his vineyard. Now, hiring workers in the marketplace would have been a common practice at the time. The workers would have been there, much like we see folks at the outside of Lowe's or Home Depot today, waiting there to be hired for some sort of work for the day so that they might get paid. And the typical daily wage was barely sufficient for them to supply or provide for a family for a day. See, these were the working poor. Actually, when they weren't working, they were the unemployed. And if they were not hired, offered any work for the day, they didn't have anything to eat. Now, the tension in this story comes from the fact that those who were hired last were paid first. You see, if the landowner had told the manager to pay those who were hired first, no problem. They'd have gone merrily along their way before they knew what those who were hired last received. Now, some have suggested that this all happens because, you know, the last verse or last sentence in the parable is the last shall be first and the first shall be last. But if those who were hired last hadn't been paid first, if they'd been paid last, there's not much of a story, not much tension in the story. And tension makes a good story. So those who were hired first were paid last. And as they watched everybody else get paid, they get angry. You see, this story, this parable, elicits strong responses in us. It's much like that other parable that people can't stand. You know, the prodigal son, right? The one that gets us angry, like, oh, well, that guy. And I suspect these strong reactions come because we relate to or imagine ourselves as being the workers who got hired first. The ones doing all the work while those other people, you know who they are getting away without having to pull their fair share. Always doing the work, always the first one here, always having to make the coffee, turn on the lights, always have to be the last one here to lock the doors, you know. And we make assumptions about those who weren't working all day, those who were at the marketplace. It's not difficult to imagine those who are just hanging out at the marketplace, right? Probably playing dominoes, maybe some card game. Maybe they were throwing dice. Nothing but fun there at the marketplace while those others were working hard in the field. But it doesn't change how you feel about this parable if you imagine yourself being at the marketplace all day. Seeing landowners, probably not, well, in this case, landowner, but other managers coming and hiring those people, and there you wait to see if you get hired. Oh, no, now they hired those people. Oh, wait, he's coming back. Maybe he'll hire me this time. All day, they waited idly in the marketplace, not knowing if they were going to be able to feed their families dinner that night. Can you imagine? As the hours go by, so too would your hope would begin to wane. It's 5 o'clock. There's an hour left in the day. You're preparing yourself to have to go home and face your family to say, not today. We all go to bed hungry today. And yet, we cast aspersions on those who got away with only having to work for an hour to get paid for a full day. Those who were hired first, yes, they received a full day's wage, but they also received the assurance first thing in the morning at sunrise. They knew what they would receive at the end of that day. They spent the entire day, yes, working, but knowing that they were going to be able to feed their families. While those back at the marketplace didn't know where the next meal would come from. And before we think this is like those who had only worked an hour thinking that they had won the lottery, each and every one of these laborers received a fair day's wage. This is only enough money to provide, barely provide for their family for one day. They're all showing up the next day, hoping to be hired, hoping to receive enough money to provide for their family on that day. At the end of the day, each laborer received what they had been promised, which also happened to be what each of them needed. You see, they each received what they had been promised. The only ones who were told what they were going to receive was those who were hired at 6 o'clock. After that, the landowner tells those hired at noon and 12 and 3, you'll receive what is fair. And to those hired at 5, he just says, go to work. And they go to work trusting the landowner to provide what was fair. They each received what they needed for their daily bread. That is how it is in the kingdom of heaven. Those who were hired first received their day's wage, as well as the knowledge that they would be paid for the day. Those who were hired last endured a day, maybe worrying that they wouldn't be able to provide for their family. And they too received what they needed for the day. That's how it is in the kingdom of heaven. From our worldly perspective, it may not seem fair to us or even to the workers who had been hired first, second, or third, because they all received the same wage, the gall of the landowner. What does the laborer say to the landowner? You made them, those people, equal to us. Those people, equal to us. How could he do such a thing? Each of the workers received enough to provide their family with daily bread. Isn't that what we pray for? Isn't that what Jesus taught us to pray for? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. So why do we get so worked up? We pray about this all the time. And when it happens, darn it, we get ticked off. There is no indication in the parable that anyone suffered as a result of the landowner's generosity. That isn't unless you think being equal to those people is suffering. And yet we worry about such things. We, like the workers, worry about things that we don't need to worry about while we neglect the really serious needs and concerns around us. The landowner was generous, and instead of acknowledging it, instead of encouraging and replicating his generosity, we complain because it isn't fair. And the same is true of God. You see, we worry about who God is blessing, who is receiving God's grace, who is welcome into the family as God, as though there was somehow a limit on how many people God could bless, how many people God could love, how many people God could welcome. Beloved, God's generosity, God's love is without limit. This is not an expiring, finite resource. It's a renewable, life-giving resource that provides for us daily in ways that we could not have anticipated. You get up in the morning, and you pray that you'd be the first one hired. You pray that you would be the one that would be used by God. You pray that you would receive your daily bread. And if you're fortunate, you find out first thing you will. Or maybe you have to wait till 9, or noon, or 3. Or heaven forbid, you have to wait until 5. But God's love, God's generosity is without limit. And we pray for daily bread, not just for ourselves, but for each other. For that is the kingdom of heaven, where we can rejoice and celebrate that the good fortune of others as well as our own. Where we don't have to hoard and pretend like if I don't, everything is a shrinking commodity. Mr. Justin demonstrated to us that each of those cups, though different sizes, were both full to the brim. Full. And such is God's love. And when we talk about generosity, we can be a part of bringing that same generosity that is reflective of the kingdom of heaven that this parable is about. If we too begin to celebrate and not resent others and their good fortune and the blessings that they receive. And we can be a part of bringing that very kingdom that we pray would come to earth about by being generous ourselves, loving others as God has loved us. Seems to me that this old story could be replaced by stories of our generosity. Examples, even in this room, of people who have given to folks in ways that surprised them, come the end of the day having no idea that they would have been blessed in such a way, bringing the kingdom of heaven near, just as we pray. Let us join God in this generosity that God so freely shares with us. Amen.